All right. So as I mentioned before during the children's talk, we are doing just a little two-part series. While Colin's away, we've wrapped up our Minor Prophets series last week. We'll be jumping into some new stuff, surprisingly, almost heading into the Christmas run-up, which is a little bit scary. So, but get excited for those messages that will be coming. But I did mention that we are going to be looking for the next 2 weeks at this idea of authentic Jesus followers. It's something that just seemed to be thrusted upon me in everything. The teaching that I was hearing, the devotions that I was doing, the conversations I was having, even the studies, and even songs that I was listening to, this theme of authenticity, in particular about following Jesus, was coming up again and again. And so when Colin was going away and he said, "We've finished, you can do whatever you want to do," I was like, "All right, let's do this." And it works out well because this week we're looking at who are authentic Jesus followers. And then next week we'll look at what do authentic Jesus followers do. So today is, who am I? An authentic Jesus follower. At different times in my own life, I have found myself content with what we would call normal. I get up in the morning, get the kids dressed, get them to school, go off to work, do what I have to do at work, making sure that I finish in time to get back, pick the kids up as school finishes. Then we get home, do homework, get dinner ready, and then that's done, then put them in the shower or the bath, and then eventually into bed so we can have a bit of me time and also a bit of a chit-chat with Shamila. And then off to sleep for, I wish it was 6 to 8 hours, but it never is, to wake up and to rinse and repeat it all again tomorrow. But I imagine you have found yourself in a similar situation, maybe settling for normal, where life has become this normal, cozy, monotonous routine. Wake up, work, sleep, repeat. But is this all there is to life? What if we are meant for more, each one of us? But the problem is our content and our complacent and comfortable lives is setting us up for this idea that this is all life has to offer the way it is now, or this is all that we are. And at such thoughts like that, the devil grins from ear to ear when he hears that and watches us conform into this normal life, smiling and even whispering, "Yep, that's all you'll ever be. That's all you are," into our life. But what if the devil was lying? What if there's more? What if there is something better than just normal life? What if normal actually wasn't even who we were supposed to be? Have I got good news this morning for you? But unfortunately, there's also some bad news. But we'll start with the good news because that's what I've always been told to do. The good news is that the devil is lying. There is more to life. God has called us to something better. He has something more beautiful, fulfilling, purposeful than we could ever imagine. And today we're going to explore what that more looks like and how, in particular, authentic Jesus followers embrace the extraordinary life that He has in store for us. And we don't just go through the motions of normal. So who am I in Christ? In the Bible, we learn this different perspective to the normal life. It shows us that in Christ, we are no longer defined by what we do or what we achieve. We are now defined by who God says you are. But the question is, how do we become in Christ? Well, if you're a Christian already, you would know that to be in Christ means believing that by God's grace and His inseparable love, Jesus Christ freely gave his life, redeeming us as a payment for all of our sins. So now we don't have to face the judgment that we were due. And we've been made blameless in God's eyes now for all eternity. If you're in Christ, the Bible says as well that you are a new creation. But you're not just a new creation, because it gets even better than that. The Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He says, we are God's masterpiece. And then he goes on in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and he says, we are citizens of heaven. This sounds like good news. I would even say it's great news. But now for the bad news. The bad news is that most Christians today struggle to believe these things up on the screen. We know them in our heads. We read it in the Bible. We even hear it in sermons that are preached at church. But we don't truly believe it, because we don't actually live it out in our lives. And I know this from my own personal experience and from conversations that I've had with other Christians. I've seen how old habits and established by worldly influences seem to persist even after we are in Christ. Once we've become Jesus followers, things don't automatically change. Things like the habit of comparison. We're so used to comparing ourselves with the people around us, the things around us, that we still do it after we begin to follow Jesus. But Paul says in Corinthians 2, verse 5 to 17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. But becoming a Jesus follower isn't as simple as reading that. It's not like flicking a switch or ticking a box. It's a transformation. Our old life doesn't just vanish instantly once we profess Jesus. We have to put in the work. We have to put in work to get rid of old habits, to get rid of our old thinking, to get rid of our old identity, our old ways. And this is where I'm often reminded that I have failed, and that I believe many Christians in the world today have also failed. We have not let go of the old. We have not let it pass away. Instead, we've kept the old and we're trying to make the new fit around it. And sadly, when we do that, it leads to inauthentic followers of Jesus. Ones who accept Jesus' free gift that he offers, knowing what it means to be in Christ in our head. But when it comes to changing our lifestyle, we don't believe it. Or we believe if it was really that important, God would just do it for us anyway. And so my goal today is to help you embrace your identity as God's masterpiece and citizens of heaven. Because I believe by truly believing this, it will transform our actions and it will transform our lives. Now, these aren't the only two things that we receive when we become, when we are in Christ. But I do believe that these are two of the hardest things that we struggle to let pass away when we step into this new life. This new life of authentic Jesus followers, are God's masterpiece and citizens of heaven. But that firstly is because God, when we are in Christ, God sees you, each one of us, as I was talking to the children this morning, as a masterpiece. In Ephesians 2:10 again it said, for we are what? God's masterpiece. Oh, just checking you're not sleeping yet. We're only halfway. We are God's masterpieces. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Now, just like the children, we all have encountered masterpieces in our lives. Whether it's the Mona Lisa, maybe you haven't seen it physically in person, maybe you have. Maybe it's the Mona Lisa, or maybe the Taj Mahal, or maybe a classic film that some of you might have known, The Matrix. Maybe it's something else for you that is just a masterpiece in your mind. When we see masterpieces like those things, again, that habit of comparison comes back, and we start comparing our lives to things like movies and incredible structures and buildings and things that we just can't ever measure up to. I mean, look at me, myself, my hair, it's receding. Our car engine light keeps coming on. It's driving fine, but the engine light is just always there. It's frustrating. I mean, I'm still studying at Bible college, trying to finish my bachelor's degree. This year, I've only taken one holiday so far. You know how many Colin's taken? No, that's beside the point. But you look at yourself, I look at myself and I think, how? That's not a masterpiece. How is this a masterpiece? Really? And that's exactly how the Ephesians felt when Paul was writing to them. See, we don't have it here in Adelaide, but they would walk past this incredible temple built to Artemis. And it made them feel tiny and insignificant and unimportant. We don't have a temple like that that we walk past today, but sadly, I think we've got things that are far worse. Today, we only have to turn on the TV or open up your social media app and start scrolling, or even walking through Marion Shopping Centre and we become bombarded by these pictures of perfect bodies, of full heads of beautiful hair, of healthy, delicious, organic meals, long vacation deals, perfectly behaved children. And we look at these things and we just don't match up. And then, again, the devil's voice in your head starts saying, you are not enough. You are never going to make it. You are not good looking enough. You're not important enough. You'll never be enough. And the truth is, and it feels a bit weird saying this, that it's actually true what the devil's saying. We will never be enough without Christ. When we are trying to achieve these things in our life without Christ, Paul says this about it in the Ephesians earlier in verse 2 and 3. He says, we used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live in that way. Every single person in the world was once separated from God because of sin. The devil was at work in our lives trying to keep us away from God, continually trying to convince us that we're okay. Just try a bit harder and you can get it. You can do it. But we won't. And we can't. Because it's a lie what the devil is telling us. Without Jesus in our life, there is no hope of us ever being enough. That's the bad news. But the good news is, in verse 4 of Ephesians, God was so rich in mercy. And he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace, Paul says, that we have been saved. Through God's grace and Christ's sacrifice, believers receive a new life. We become what? Oh, skipped ahead. What do we become? God's masterpiece. And just like the masterpieces that we've talked about with the kids that we know in our minds today, we know that they were all created for a purpose. Now that we are God's masterpieces, we now have a new purpose in Christ. The rest of verse 10 says, He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things that He planned for us long ago. You know, after we become Christians and are in Christ, we might still have the same job. We might live in the same suburb. We might be a part of the same sports club. We might go to the same shopping centre or volunteer at the same place. But as a masterpiece who is a Jesus follower, we don't find our purpose in these things anymore of what we do, but rather we bring God's purpose to everything that we do, wherever we go. And now maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, but Dion, my life is a mess. How can I be a masterpiece? Well, when the famous sculptor Michelangelo was asked about how he carved the masterpiece of the statue of David, he said this. He said, I created a vision of David in my mind and I simply carved away everything that was not David. If your life feels messy right now, don't worry, you are not alone. But remember that no masterpiece was ever created in a day. And as long as you are putting in the work, you can be confident that God is shaping you into the masterpiece He wants you to be. Slowly chipping away everything that isn't of Jesus. So now we know that we are God's masterpieces. Let's explore the second crucial aspect of who we are in Christ. And that is, in Christ, we are citizens of heaven. When you meet someone new for the first time, one of the first questions that we often ask them is, where are you from? I was even talking, praying with Chris. He's got a new support worker. One of the first things he asked him, where are you from? And he was from India. And we know that the reason we ask this question, because where you're from influences many things in your life, like how you talk, how you think, what you eat, what you wear, what you do, and even who you are. Now, I know a lot of people here have done some traveling, so if you've ever visited another part of the world, you would have experienced this firsthand. The different accents, the languages, the things they value, the behavior, the gestures, the traditions, such as things like in Taiwan and China, burping loudly is actually a sign of politeness in public, burping loudly in public in particular. In India, it's customary to eat with your right hand and not your left. In Thailand, it is actually taboo to touch someone's head because they place it in such a sacred space. These cultural differences, and maybe ones that you know of yourself around the world, show us how much where we come from influences who you are, how you talk, how you think, and what you do. So if that is the case, when Paul then says this, that we are citizens of heaven, what he's saying is once you are in Christ, you are no longer a citizen of the world. In the new life you received a new citizenship to a heavenly kingdom. And because you are no longer from the world, your values and your behavior are going to change. As a citizen of heaven, we now have a new loyalty to Jesus Christ, who is going to show us a new way of living. Not like the ways of the earth. This new way of living means that we will talk differently, we will think differently, and we will do things differently because who we are and where we are from has changed. We have a new place of influence. But again, there's bad news. There's a problem. The Christians in Philippi, and it's a problem that we struggle with still today. Paul says, I told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things and they think only about this life here on earth. Despite our heavenly citizenship, we still tend to fixate on earthly comforts. Things like our jobs, our possessions, our health, and our wealth. The famous actor Jim Carrey, who was someone who had access to these luxurious lifestyle things, said this about it in a powerful quote in an interview. He said, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer." Now, I don't know if Jim Carrey has a personal relationship with Jesus, but from this quote, you can see it's clear that at the time he spoke it, he'd only been focusing on worldly and earthly things. Yet deep down, even in him, something was telling him there is more to life than what the world was offering him. And we know, praise God, that he was right. In Romans 12, verse 2, it said, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." The world tells us that our value and worth comes from what we have and what we do. So we better look out for numero uno. But as citizens of heaven, this changes. We have a different way of thinking. Our treasure is no longer here on this earth. We don't find value in what we have or do, which means that instead of thinking about myself all the time, I'm able to consider others. Instead of thinking about what I can get from this situation or this person, I can think about what can I give instead. Or instead of obsessing about what matters now and I need, I can focus on what matters eternally. As a citizen of heaven in Christ, we will be influenced to think differently to the world. And that different thinking will eventually lead us to live differently as well. The Apostle Peter said, this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, he said, "Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary residents and foreigners, to keep away from the worldly desires that wage war against your very souls." The world is telling us that divorce, loneliness, debt, depression, taking drugs, sleeping around, being judgmental, skeptical, anxious, discontentment, worried, stressed, and angry. These are supposed to be all normal things, a normal part of the life that we live. But when we know that our time here on earth is only temporary and we focus on our eternal life, it changes things. Including things like how we spend our time, how we manage our money, what work are we going to do, how our relationships look, how we parent our kids, who we might date, and how even we treat people. But living differently isn't easy. it might mean that you are going to get a funny look from people, people that are maybe really close to you. You might even lose friendships, but you will gain new ones because people are going to notice that you are living differently. But God doesn't want you to worry about that. He doesn't want to worry if you're different from the world. Rather, he wants you to worry if you're not, if you look just like everyone else. So, am I an authentic Jesus follower? Next time you feel yourself conforming to the mold of the monotonous normal life, getting comfortable with the daily routine, remember who you are in Christ. You are an authentic follower of God, an authentic Jesus follower, God's masterpiece, and a citizen of heaven. And to help us believe this, I've got a bit of a challenge for us to try for this next week, and I encourage each one of us to do this. Very simple. It's just two daily affirmations that we can practice anytime in the morning when you wake up, in the evening, anytime that you think about it. These two daily affirmations. The first one is, I am God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared for me to do. Say it to yourself in the morning, but don't just leave it at that. Then choose to reflect God's craftsmanship in your actions, whether it's maybe through the kindness that you show to others, the creativity in what you do, or maybe if you're at work, in the way that you work in a way of excellence. And then the second one up there, I am a citizen of heaven. My life belongs to God because earth is not my home. I think differently and I live differently. Say that to yourself in the morning. And so then when you're faced with a decision, whether it's a big or a small decision, you'll be inclined to ask yourself, how would a citizen of heaven approach this? And it could apply to all sorts of things, such as how you're spending your money. Would a citizen of heaven buy a Lamborghini? Or maybe it's your time. Or maybe it's how you're interacting with others. Because when we know who we are, we know what to do. We will know what to do. As we close, just imagine what might happen if we embrace that, our true identity in Christ. Because we're not defined by our jobs, by our possessions, or our achievements. We are God's masterpieces, doing good works that he has prepared for us. We are also citizens of heaven, living and thinking differently to the world because we aren't from here anymore. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that all of what I've talked about this morning is only possible because of your great love for us and your willingness to sacrifice your one and only Son so that we can have an opportunity to be different, to live differently, to get out of the normal, monotonous routine of the lives that we were living and to live a new life for you. And so I pray, Lord, as this week comes at us and we remind ourselves daily that we are your masterpieces and citizens of heaven, that that would change the way that we think, it would change the way that we live, it would change who we are. So much so that people around us would notice and would be drawn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.